What's going on, gamers? Welcome back to the Graveyard. I'm the Graveyard Gamer. Thanks for joining me for this episode of Graveyard Gaming. Now, in today's episode, I have been inspired by the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Cowabunga Collection, and I want to talk about some other series that I think would benefit from taking a lot of their classic old-school Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega, Game Boy games, and putting them in one collection and headline them with a classic arcade title. Plus, I also want to talk about a few standalone arcade titles that I think would just be cool to see able to be purchased on your PlayStation Network or your Xbox Live Arcade. Then I want to talk about some games that, for whatever reason, I just think they get way too much hate. Sure, maybe they released in a state that they deserved a little bit of hate, but over time they have been a lot better, and some games just were great from the beginning, but people just didn't like one little thing, and for years these games have been hated on. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about my graveyard shift, because not only do I want to talk in detail about that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Cowabunga Collection, I was able to right the wrong that was last week, and I actually was able to pick up and play God of War Ragnarok, and I'm excited to talk to you guys about what I've done in detail. So with that being said, let's talk about those classic collections that I think would sell like hotcakes. So gamers, this past week I got a chance to actually play the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Cowabunga Collection, which, if you don't know, it's a collection of games. It's available on the PS5, available on the Switch, the Xbox, and it has a collection of games from the Nintendo, the Game Boy, the Sega Genesis, the Super Nintendo, all of these things. Plus, what I consider the holy grail of the situation is it's got the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle arcade game. Not just the Nintendo version, but I'm talking actually the stand-up arcade version. And it's got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, the arcade version as well. Which, back in the day, if you didn't know that, yeah, we did have a Super Nintendo version of Turtles in Time. We had a Nintendo version of the arcade game, but they did not compare to the actual real legit stand-up arcade versions where you would just go and drop a ton of money on. And you know, people nowadays might not understand how important that was, because if you go to an arcade now, you're kind of playing these games and they're cool, you know what I mean, but they're not like up to what the PS5 or even the PS4 can do. Back in the day, it was completely different. In the early 90s, the Nintendo could not do what the arcade game could do. So we always had a lesser version. That's not saying that the Ninja Turtle 2 arcade game on the Nintendo was a bad version by any means. It is definitely a classic and a loved game from that era. But those arcade games just stood the test of time. Like, they just looked better. They played better. They were so much fun. It was like a group thing. All your friends would come over and you'd all put the quarters in and you'd have a good time at the arcade. But that collection is so fun. I have loved it. You know, nostalgia is a crazy thing. I've talked about that in my retro reviews. But a lot of times when you go back to Nintendo and Super Nintendo era games, so you can count the Game Boys, you can count the Sega Genesis, they might not be the most robust gameplay, but they're fun. They're simple and they're fun and they're enjoyable. And I'm sitting there going, you know what? I can't stop playing this. I mean, almost every night I was sitting there playing this collection, right? I had to unfortunately take it back. I just rented it. Hopefully I'll get it soon. But ultimately, I'm sitting there playing this thing going, man, there are some other franchises that could do this. And all it takes is a publisher to get the rights, and I'm sure it's going to cost a pretty penny, but I think these collections would also make a pretty penny. And I think people go crazy. The first one I'm going to talk about is The Simpsons. And look, I know The Simpsons isn't that cultural phenomenon that it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, especially. So for me, you know, The Simpsons was so big that I remember being in like first or second grade whenever The Simpsons was like first starting off. So we're talking like the first two seasons, right? I'm in first or second grade. Our teacher would always tell us, you know, at the end of the day, make sure you're in bed by 8 so you get good sleep. Well, on Thursdays, that's when it came on. She would always say, be in bed by 8:30 because she knew everybody was going to watch The Simpsons. It was huge. We also got a ton, and I mean an absolute ton, of Simpsons video games. It seemed like every couple of months there was some kind of Simpson-themed video game dropping on your Nintendo, on your Sega, on your Game Boy. I think I looked it up and there's about 20 just from that era. And I'm going, you know what? We don't need all of those. Some of those were only on PC and some of them just weren't that great. But at the same time, man, we had things like Bart Simpson versus the World. We had Radioactive Man. We had Krusty's Madhouse, whatever it was. There were just so many things that you could sit there and do that would be a ton of fun. You could put easily 10 classic Nintendo, Game Boy, Sega games in a collection, and then you could have the crown jewel of them all, and that is the Simpsons arcade game. Because look, the Simpsons arcade game was fantastic. Everybody has great memories that played that game, but unfortunately, We did get it on the PS and the Xbox Marketplace about 10 years ago or so, but it went off. The rights were taken away. You can no longer buy it. I don't even know if you could play it on the Series X, and I know you can't play it on the PS4 or PS5. So it's one of those things that I bought, I had a lot of fun with, but I can't touch it. You put it in a collection, it's just that crown jewel to get people to buy it. I just think people would love this. No, they're not the most well-remembered or loved games, because their difficulty on these Nintendo games and stuff could be kind of tough at times. But I definitely think people would just jump on this collection to kind of ride that nostalgia wave, especially if they timed it. And say Fox decided, okay, in May, that'll be the last episode of The Simpsons. I guarantee you, if you put this out the week before that last episode air, people will go crazy buying it. Because I promise you, nobody's probably watched The Simpsons in probably 5-10 years. Like, really, a lot of people watched it. But I guarantee if you say, hey, this is the last episode ever, people are going to flock to it and watch it. And then they're going to want to play a game to take them back to their childhood when that franchise was so huge. Now, another franchise I want to talk about is the X-Men. Look, I love the X-Men. That is one of my favorite things, especially from the 90s. I was so big into comic books. And I'm sitting there going, you know what? This is another game. And look, there's a ton of games from that late 90s with the Nintendo, the Sega, the Super Nintendo, the Game Boy, the Game Boy Advance. Like, you could really cover a ton just in like a 10-year period. But I'm going to say you could limit it to 10. And I mean, they could make their pick. I mean, you could have some awesome Super Nintendo games with them, with X-Men and Spider-Man, X-Men Mutant Genesis, their Sega games of X-Men and X-Men 2, The Clone Wars, and Wolverine's Revenge, and even the Nintendo games of the X-Men and Wolverine. Like, there is just a ton. I mean, there is a ton of them. Mutant Apocalypse is another great one. Like, I think people would absolutely buy these things. You put that in a collection, people are going to jump on it. Because, one, right now, we got the fact that we know the X-Men are about to show up in the MCU. We just don't know the full details. But hey, you put this collection together, people are going to buy it because it's on their mind. We're going to get Wolverine soon. We're going to get the X-Men soon. I can get this collection. I can go back to the 90s and play all these fun games. Man, people will be on it. And again, 10 games would be more than enough to offer a collection. Both these collections could be about 40 bucks. But here's the crown jewel of the X-Men game. X-Men the arcade game, because it's another great arcade game. I mean, honestly, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles the arcade game, The Simpsons game, and the X-Men arcade game, all of those are probably the holy grail, the three top, I would say, that action-style side-scrolling adventure game. You know, you can't count Mortal Kombat, things like that. But of those three, those were like the top ones me and my friends always would flock to. Imagine collections built around that. We have the Ninja Turtle one, a Simpsons one, and an X-Men one. Oh, man. But let's say you want to do just a little bit more with the collections for Simpsons and X-Men. First off, I think the 10 NES, Super Nintendo, like that era games on each, and the arcade game for each of them, I think that's a huge selling point. People would go crazy. But you want to know how you sweeten that deal just a little bit more? Well, it's very simple. You just make a few light remasters. When I talk about light remasters, I don't mean like, hey, you go in there and change a whole bunch of stuff. I just mean like what they did with Stubbs the Zombie in early 2021, right? I mean, it was just a slightly better looking version than what we had on the Xbox in 2005. And you know what? I was perfectly fine playing through that. But what if they did that with Simpsons Hit and Run in the Simpsons collection? I'm telling you right now, people have been wanting a remake or a remaster of that game for years. So if you just did just enough to make it play well on current gen, and you did that little bit of a remaster, you threw in this collection, guarantee you would sell so many copies of that. As far as X-Men go, X-Men Legends 1. I think if you just did at least X-Men Legends 1 in that collection, people would go crazy. It's that RPG where you get to play as a whole team of the X-Men and go on these awesome missions and explore the X-Mansion and all this awesome stuff. People would love it. Again, those two things would probably be the main selling points. But with what's going on with Simpsons potentially ending and the X-Men coming to the MCU, I think people would want to jump back on those two games. And then to be able to get the full package of all the classic Nintendo early 90s era games, man, you're just talking money waiting to be taken. I know I would be there day one for both of those collections. But what about some other arcade games that we could see? Now, I'm talking more of just putting it on the PSN, just put it on the Xbox Marketplace for like 10 bucks for these games, and I think people would pay for it. What about Die Hard the arcade game? I used to love that game. First off, that was so much fun. You could play two-player co-op. And I mean, you're going through Nakatomi Tower, just taking out the different levels and the bad guys on it. Yeah, we kind of got a version of that on the PS1 with the Die Hard trilogy, but that arcade version was so cool, so classic. There was an Avengers game that I think people would go nuts over as well. I mean, honestly, you can play as Hawkeye, you can play as Captain America, Iron Man, Vision. Like, there were so many cool characters in there. And I just think the fact that they would be cheap, you know, $10, it's the old school side-scrolling arcade games, I think people would be interested and they'd want to play it. And then, of course, The Punisher. I think that was a lot of fun. You know, not too many times you get to be a superhero who shoots guns, but that was a lot of fun. I think it would get people interested. People haven't seen a whole lot digitally from The Punisher. I can't think of too many games he's been in the last several years, honestly. I don't think he was in any of the Ultimate Alliance games, maybe Lego Marvel, but ultimately, I think people would be really, really interested in any of these games. You know, hey man, $30, you can have all three of these games. I'm there. These collections, I'm there. Oh man, gamers, I just think that, like I said, there's money on the table to be. I mean, gamers, this kind of stuff excites me. I would love to know you guys' thoughts on that and what games you would like to see in an arcade collection. So, gamers, when I talk about games that people hate, I want to be clear here. Look, there are times that games just come out and they're just not good. And when people give them grief or they hate on them, then hey, that's sometimes justified. I'm talking about games that I feel like people didn't even play and they just have this reputation as being horrible when in reality is maybe they started out that way. Maybe it took patches to get them there. Or maybe it's just different people's taste that doesn't like it, but you may actually like these games because I just don't get why they get all the hate. They may not need universal praise, but the hate I don't get. Now, the first one up is a game that I actually consider a masterpiece, and that is The Last of Us 2. If you look up The Last of Us 2, people are complaining about it. Honestly, if you sit there and read an article for HBO's The Last of Us TV show, people are talking about how they need to make sure they don't follow The Last of Us Part 2 and keep Joel alive, because that's the key thing. I'm not going to get too deep in major storyline spoilers, but I'm going to spoil this part if you don't know. In the very beginning of the game, maybe an hour into playing the game, Joel is going to die. That's right, the guy that we all love from the first game dies. He's brutally murdered. But here's the deal. That sets off a narrative theme that is so deep and complex and intelligently written that it has stayed with me the last 2.5 years. It makes me want to replay that game. I absolutely love it. I cannot explain to you how well it is. And no, it is not the most sunshine rainbow storyline. It does not leave you feeling all warm inside. But it fits in the confines of the story they told in the first game and the world that they have built between the two. See, what happens? Joel dies. That spurs Ellie on for revenge. But you're gonna find out about halfway through the game why he had to die. And it just really goes in this awesome cycle of what revenge is, how pointless it is, and what it can cost you. Because I promise you, it cost Ellie everything. Everything. The truth of the matter is, people will make you believe that this game just sucks, that they tried to get too woke and too empowering for women, and that's not it at all. It has none of those themes in this game. Ellie just happens to be a young girl. Reality is, people didn't like the fact that Joel died. He's one of the gaming heroes, right? Last of Us is such a big title. So many people love it, and that whole story just holds a place and the characters in our hearts that to see somebody like that brutally murdered, you're just going, No, I wanted this. And that's the key thing. See, people wanted a, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it approach to The Last of Us 2. They wanted a Joel and Ellie adventure. They wanted to ride with Joel, whether you were controlling Joel or he was right there. But here's the other big part of this. Joel is in Last of Us 2 a pretty good bit. It's not like Troy Baker went in, recorded a few lines, and it was like, cool, guys, see you later. He is carried throughout that game. His presence is there. You're gonna see plenty of cutscenes. And they're used so well that you feel like Joel is part of the game, and it also feels like it just adds to that story. You get that full relationship with Joel and Ellie. Unfortunately, the world they were living in, they weren't gonna live forever. Somebody was gonna die. It's a hard world. They say that multiple times. There's one great conversation in the first game where Joel talks about how hard the world is, and how brutal it is, and how he's been on both sides of the traps of being trapped and killing people in traps. So it's one of those things that makes sense. Because in addition to a great story and great just character development here, you also get an amazing game. The gameplay is fantastic. I love the levels they put in this game. I love the areas you go to. I love exploring houses and old buildings and, you know, old towns. I love that. There's actually an open kind of hub world type area at one point you go to. I thought that was fantastic. I want to see more like that in another Last of Us game or in another Uncharted. Like Naughty Dog nailed that feeling. And then later in the game, man, you get this like almost mini side story that kind of reflects like how pointless revenge is as you see these two warring type tribes and another character, Abby, kind of in the middle of it. I just thought it was fantastic. I thought it was great. The gameplay, again, just so well executed. But people don't want you to know that. They just want you to know that the game sucks. Why does it suck? They killed Joel. Okay. I mean, it happens. It sucks. But ultimately, I want you to play this game. This game is fantastic. Now, let's talk about games that just had a rough launch because the developers screwed up. That is Assassin's Creed Unity, and that's also Cyberpunk 2077. However, I can say I played Assassin's Creed Unity the first time about 4 months after they'd fully patched it, which really only took about 2 months. So I played about 6 months later. I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic game. I really did. So much so that when I replayed it earlier this summer, and you can check out my review here. You can also check out my review for The Last of Us 2. Forgot to mention that. But when I played through Unity, I realized, holy crap. I don't know why I didn't consider it one of the best games in the franchise back then, but the story is fantastic. The graphics are out of this world. They still look good all these years later. The setting is awesome. Man, the parkour is the best in the series, but all you hear about this game, people don't talk about that stuff. All you hear about, it's the game that came out and the characters' faces weren't there. Cyberpunk 2077 absolutely had one of the worst launches in gaming history. Like, there's not really too much you can say about that. It came out, and look, it was marketed for PS4 and Xbox One consoles. It came out about a month after the Series X and the PS5 dropped. Not too many people had them. This game could really only be played on those consoles, however. So all the people that have been buying, they've been hyped for a couple years and picked it up on PS4 and Xbox One, guess what? They got really inferior versions that actually barely worked, if they worked at all. You've seen the horror stories of the glitches and the breaks and the bugs and all of that stuff. Thing is, when it comes to games like Cyberpunk, I'm not really big into the aesthetics of it, right? Like the look of people with the cybernetics all over them and the rundown cities, that usually doesn't interest me in a game, I'll be honest. And at the same time, I'm not the first person to jump into first-person shooter games. I prefer third person. So I was never really sold on this game coming to its release. However, the game releases. My good friend Hulking Yoda over at Lost at Sea Gaming, a great gaming podcast right here on Anchor, he has it on the Series X and he's playing through it. And this dude doesn't get any glitch, any bug, nothing. So he is really digging it and he keeps telling me, dude, you'd like it, you'd like it. So come April of 2021, I try it out on the PS5 and personally, I really enjoyed the first act. I loved your friend Jackie, getting to know him, planning this big heist you're going on, the different options you had. The look, the feel of the game, I just enjoyed all of it. So I'm sitting here, I'm taken back by all the people that are still hating on this game, and it's like, look, have you given it a shot? Because I know the developers have put out countless patches. My understanding is they put out one for the PS5 and the Series X to kind of give you that next gen version of the game. I'm pretty sure it runs decently well now on the PS4s and the Xbox Ones. I can't speak to that, I've never played those versions. But even on the PS4 version that I was playing on a PS5, it ran fine. So for me, it's one of those things that I'm like, look, yes, the developers, when they release a game like this, you have to hold it to them. Like, look, guys, you did this. You screwed this up. This is your mistake. How are you going to fix it? But at the same time, you have to give them the option of fixing it. They've done that. They didn't just put the games out and leave them at that. Ubisoft gave away free DLC and they made the game exactly what it should have been at launch. It took a couple of months and they got it there. Cyberpunk 2077, they stopped working on their DLCs and their expansions to make sure the game was done right. And they didn't ignore PS4 and Xbox One gamers. They kept making it so the game could play on that. And they've continued their promise of putting out the true next-gen versions as well. And what's happening is people are overlooking just how good that game is. I think I've seen that people are starting to play it a lot more since Netflix had their show, but at the end of the day, it's just those things that I think people pile on just to hate. Look, another game that I'm going to talk about people piling on, and this one kind of gets me because I get it. I get not loving this game, and that's Marvel's Avengers by Crystal Dynamics. I actually didn't score the game that high. However, I do think there is a solid campaign there, and I think it is visually beautiful. wasn't a big fan of the controls, and I wasn't a big fan of the live service aspect of the game. And I think those things kind of flow hand in hand as you're trying to, make a game that can work multiplayer and single player and whatnot. But either way, all that you can go check out my review for to get my in-depth details. But people just hate on this game like it does nothing good. Like Crystal Dynamics has just made a crappy game. But I can tell you right now, the base campaign is awesome. I loved it. The War for Wakanda free expansion was great. The Kate Bishop and the Hawkeye expansions were also free and awesome. We've also seen Spider-Man added to the game. We have seen the Winter Soldier will be coming out. I think there's supposed to be more. I'm kind of thinking we're not going to see as many as they originally planned because of people's hate for this game, and I think it's unfounded. You can dislike different things, but I just don't think anybody can play that game and be like, oh, this game sucks. Hand over foot, every which way about it, it sucks. I just don't see that. I think it missed the mark on a lot of things it went for, but I still walked away going, I love the campaign. If I could replay just missions of the campaign, I would do it in a heartbeat. It's solid. It's a good game. It's a lot of fun. It's great. I like the way they interpret those characters. So ultimately, I think that game gets a lot of hate. And while I don't think it needs a ton of praise, I don't think it needs all the hate it gets. And finally, the last one is just one that baffles me, and that is Dead Rising 4. See, look, Dead Rising was that game that sold me on an Xbox 360. I remember the summer of 2005 before the Xbox 360 release, seeing a ad for Dead Rising in a magazine. It was like a preview, if you will. And I just seen Frank West on a van holding a shovel with just thousands of zombies all around him in this tunnel. And I was like, I gotta play this game. Cut to a few months later, I get my 360. About a year later, I get the Dead Rising. It comes out like in August of 2006, and I am instantly sucked into that game. And look, here's the thing about Dead Rising. Here was the catch, and the thing that made it different is it had a timer, right? You had a certain deadline to complete the next main story. However, in that deadline, you may have kind of almost mini deadlines if you want to fight this psychotic or this maniac or complete these little actions, because things would go away. Those maniacs would go away. You'd lose your chance to fight them. If you didn't get to the next main mission in time, it would go away and you'd be without able to finish the main mission. So you had to figure out what you wanted to do. I loved it the first time I played it, but I will say, while added to replay, it was never like my favorite thing about it. Dead Rising 2, I'll be honest, I didn't get into it as much as some people. I thought it was cool, I beat it, but never as much love as that first. And that first one I loved, one of my favorite 360 games. Dead Rising 3, I couldn't play since I didn't have an Xbox One. However, Dead Rising 4 comes out. I waited a year for the year-long exclusivity, and then it sat on the backlog. So when I finally got to it in 2019, I'll be honest with you. You're playing as Frank West again from the first game. You're back in the city of Wilmington, and you're going to the mall and the areas around it, so you're getting even more area. You've got the awesome combo system from Dead Rising 2, and you're making even better weapons. Oh my word, the level of fun factor is so high in that game. I loved it. And they took away the time restrictions. And that is what I think a lot of people don't like. And look, I get it. If you're a true hardcore Dead Rising fan and you love everything about it, and that's one of your favorite things, a lot of gamers didn't really dig that. So when you're making these things and you want a very successful IP, you have to market it so that everybody can play it. And I don't mean you nerf difficulty, I don't mean you just bend the knee to all these things, but you have to recognize this is kind of a niche title and people aren't really flocking to it because they don't like this feature. Well, if you take it out, it might be amazing. And you know what? To me, it was. Me and Hulking Yoda have talked about Dead Rising 4 so many times about how it was probably our favorite in the series because it was just so well done. I loved it. I loved the freedom to explore and to just check things out and to kind of go after different blueprints and realize, oh crap, I forgot it. Let me go all the way back across town and not have to worry about a timer. I dug that. Now, in the DLC, they did include the timer aspect back again, and I think that was kind of a fun little thing for, the expansion, the DLC, whatnot. But for the base game, I thought it was great to just be able to enjoy the game. It's fun factors off the roof, like I said. Great graphics, great gameplay, a cool story. It was funny. I mean, it was genuinely funny in a lot of the right places. So I personally think that game gets a lot of hate, and it sucks because the chances of seeing Dead Rising 5 are almost nil because of it. So, gamers, at the end of the day, all of this entire segment was about kind of finding your own way when it comes to games, right? Like, look, if people are just hating on a game and a game is getting a ton of hate, you have to go, is it because the game is that bad, or is it because they went with a different way in the story than gamers like and they don't like that? Or is it because the launch was bad and people won't get over that? Or whatever it may be. But you have to figure it out for yourself, man. I'm not telling you to go buy any of the games on this list. I loved them. I hope if you listen to my show, maybe you agree with a lot of the games that I talk about. Maybe you agree with my reviews. Personally, I always look up stuff. And I just kind of make sure I know what the game is when I pick the game up. Because, hey, I don't have a lot of gaming time, so I don't want to invest in a game that I'm not going to like. Or my good friend Hulk and Yoda will sit there and talk to me and be like, yeah, I like this game. I think you'd really like it. Or, oof, this game sucks. And I kind of can wage on that, like, okay, well, maybe I should stick away, or maybe I should definitely play this game. Gamers, you can't be just caught up in the whirlwind of the hate online, because as I've talked about in controversy corners on this podcast many, many times, it gets so annoying and so dumb. So gamers, find the game you want to play and play it and ignore the hate. Gamers, I gotta tell you, I'm much more happy this week on the Graveyard Shift than I was last week. If you heard my episode last week, you know that my copy of God of War Ragnarok was actually delayed. It was supposed to be here Wednesday. It didn't get there till Thursday afternoon. Thursday morning's Graveyard Shift was supposed to be my last time, or last opportunity, I should say, to get to play that game before I went on a couple-week vacation. Unfortunately, that vacation was canceled, but the silver lining is I got to spend a whole week playing God of War Ragnarok, and I'm excited to talk about that in just a minute, because first I got to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Cowabunga Collection, because I've referenced it so many times in previous segments on this episode. Look, my wife grabbed this for me this week. It was kind of a surprise, but I got to say, I have loved it. See, I'm old enough that when these games came out on Nintendo and the arcade games, man, I was so excited to play these things. Now, some of these games I just missed. I never got to play the Game Boy games, and I never actually got to play through and complete Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the actual arcade game. Now, yes, I did complete Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game on NES, but you know what? As I mentioned earlier, while the Nintendo version was really cool and everybody loved it, and it was the game you could play at home with your friends or by yourself, there was just something special about that arcade game, but I never got the opportunity to play more than just a few minutes at the local arcade. So the first game that I played with this collection was that arcade version, and I have to tell you, it was a blast. I loved every minute of playing it. It was like this wave of nostalgia. At the same time, it's still just a well-made game that I couldn't believe how much I was loving it. So when I beat that, the next thing I moved to was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 for the NES, because that was a game that I didn't get to play. I don't remember why as a kid. I mean, honestly, it's not like I could just roll up to the store and just buy it as a, you know, I don't even think I was 10 years old when that game came out. But at the end of the day, like, I just never did. I remember the ads for it where it would show, like, they each had a special move. Like, I think Michelangelo is called the kangaroo kick, where he'll basically jump down, like, looks like he's about to do a push-up and push off and do a kick in the air, and Raph will do a drill. Like, I remember those ads in comic books, and I wanted to play the game so bad, but just never got the opportunity. Got to rectify that, man. That was the next game I played. Played through it. And I got to say, for one, I'm kind of shocked, like, going back to these games, of one, the difficulty. Like, some of these areas are pretty dang tough. I will say that. And also, they're not that long. I think back as a day when, you know, you would die, run out of lives, and have to start all the way over, it made these games so much longer. But playing through in this collection, it's not that bad. And I've been loving it. Like, I really, truly have. It was just kind of fun. You know what I mean? Like, it was just fun, well-made Nintendo games to play through. I gotta say, the one thing about that game that I've always been excited to do if I ever got the chance to play it was fight the Triceratons. You know, they're from a different dimension, and they look like Triceratops, but they're, you know, they're built like men. And I always wanted to fight them. They're on the cover. They're not actually in the game. You know, you fight a lot of the classic characters. You even get to fight Toka and Razar from the Ninja Turtles movie, so that was really cool. But ultimately, I had a blast playing that game. And one of the things that this collection does so well that I think is just a great feature is, one, there's a rewind. You hit the left bumper and it will actually rewind, I think, up to 15 seconds in case you screw up, which is great. Or you can save it anytime with the right bumper. It's like a pause menu. You can save it at any point. I think that is fantastic. But the cool thing is, each game on the main menu screen almost has its own set of options. They're almost like cheats, if you will. You want extra lives, you want, you know, easier difficulty, whatever it may be, it gives you those options. And while you might think, like, okay, that's kind of cheating, I can understand that. And sure, there's the opportunity to run through it just straight up normal if you want to. But for somebody like myself, it's like, yo, I don't know that I want to play these, you know, these games with only 4 lives. Like, it's kind of cool to be able to bump up the lives a little bit more. Especially when you go to an arcade game, you're like, yo, back in the day, I would just put it under the quarter if I died. So that's what it's kind of done here. You have the option to keep adding lives or whatever. I think that's great. The exception to that is there's a few games that have very minimal advantages or options you can change to the game, including the hard as nails, and as a little kid, it was the most disappointing thing ever, and that is the original Ninja Turtles game on Nintendo. Because I gotta tell you something, that game was tough. And I think most kids around my age, we would have so much fun playing up until the dam level, and then when you get in that water, man, it was over. You knew you weren't gonna get past it. It was tough, it was brutal, but you still got to kind of be a Ninja Turtle, so that was cool. In this game, they don't give you anything else. I think instead of starting off with 2 lives, you get 4, maybe 4 to 6. I can't remember what you start with. So either way, I've had a blast with that. I did start Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Turtles in Time, which is the classic. It's another game that I love playing at friends' houses and at the arcade, but I never actually owned it. So I never got to beat the game, but I've been so excited to be able to play it. Unfortunately, I haven't finished it yet, but I definitely look forward to over the next couple of days that and the Hyperstone Heist, because I think the Hyperstone Heist was a Genesis game. I didn't have a Genesis, and I also think it came out around the time that I started kind of segueing out of Ninja Turtles and getting super sucked into X-Men. So it's really cool to be able to get a chance to play that game as well. Plus, like I said, Tournament Fighters, and there's all the Game Boy games that I've heard are really cool as well. So just a fantastic collection. But gamers, when it comes to God of War Ragnarok, I gotta tell you, I've put about 9 hours in this game, and I have absolutely loved every single minute of it. Graphically, I think it's gorgeous. I think it's really cool when you're kind of in the first area and it's very snowy and dark and it's supposed to be this really bad winter. Like, it feels that way. Like, it feels cold playing it. And at the same time, it feels claustrophobic, if you will. Like, everything's just kind of closing in you, the snow, the darkness, and all that. I think that is awesome. And then when you go to the next area, which I don't want to ruin anything, I don't want to say too much because I know it's a brand new game. I know some people are probably going to pick this game up for Christmas or in the next couple of days. But I would just say the next area, you get this big Bay of Bounty. And that's a huge part of what you're exploring. I thought it's great. You get a nice mix of browns. You also get this beautiful water. You can actually look down in the water and see like shipwrecks and stuff. I think that's pretty cool. I loved it, man. The sky is bright. Everything just kind of has that right look to it. And on top of that, the details. I mean, I think this game looks fantastic. Even Kratos' skin. We all know his skin is white because the ashes of his, daughter and his wife. But in this game, and I kind of noticed it a little bit in 2018, but especially in this game, you can actually tell, like, it's just not white skin. You know, back in the day on the PS2, the PS3, like, he just had white skin. Here, yeah, it's white, but you can also tell he has normal skin underneath. I don't know the best way to put that, but it just looks really friggin' cool, man. So much detail in his beard. And his, whatever outfit you have has just the right amount of details that it looks so cool, but it's his weapons. And the camera is set like behind you, so you really get to check out his axe and his Blades of Chaos and just how detailed they are. I love it, man. Like, all the design in there is just always there. It's not just like, oh, when a camera zooms in. No, it is always there. I love exploring in this game. I think they've done just such a fantastic job to, reward you for exploring, whether it be a new chest to find or a chest you have to figure out how to open or just a new enemy to fight, whatever it may be. Like, there's always something. There's secrets. I have found poems in this game, and the poems are awesome because when you read them, you're like, wait a minute, this is tying to a Sony exclusive. Like, for example, I'll just tell you, I found about 4 or 5 of them. I'll give you two of them that I've found. One of them, when you read it, you're like, that sounds like baseball, MLB The Show. What do you know? Or then you read one, and you're going, wait a minute, I think that's Horizon. I think that's Horizon Zero Dawn they're talking about. And then when you actually look into the side of it, you'll see what the cover looks like to the poem, and it looks like something to let you know. Like, the MLB one has a baseball on it. The Horizon one has, some kind of design that makes you go, that's Horizon. I love that about them. I found many more. I'm not going to spoil what they're out there, but they're really fun to find. The different artifacts that kind of explain what's happening. Oh, man. The combat to me has been, I'll say it's been slightly improved. And what I mean by that is I haven't felt like this, oh, wow, this is totally different, right? You know, I mean, going from God of War 3 to God of War 2018 was a massive shift. This one, I don't feel like it's been a big change. I just feel like it is buttery smooth. I've been able to do so many combos. I've been able to have a lot of fun with it. And I love that. I think it's just awesome. Somebody called this a safe sequel online. I disagree. Look, a safe sequel is when you just get more of the exact same you had, right? This is not that. This is bigger in so many ways. And one of the best things about it, and probably if I'm not going to count just exploring, because I've loved exploring, but if I'm going to actually count, something about this game that I have loved doing as my highlight for the 9 hours that I've played, it's definitely got to be the two favors that I've done, which favors are your side missions. And in this game, I've had so much fun. One of them, it's for Lemire, and he, at one point, built all these smokestacks, right? And you have to go and shut them down. And it's not just a simple go up there and turn them off. No, the first one's kind of like that. You get there, you go up to it, you fight some people, boom. The next one has a little bit of platforming. And the third one is almost a maze to get to the smoke. And that was awesome. The second one that I did is actually a lot better. And I'm not really going to spoil a whole lot about this because I thought everything about it was cool. I'll just say you have to release a prisoner that Lemire had imprisoned years ago. And that's really cool, man, because what I love about this is this kind of feels like Witcher 3 for me. And what I mean by that is Witcher 3 kind of changed the game in how big open world games did things, from the area of interest marker on the map being a question mark to also like having side missions that were pretty in-depth and were kind of right there with your main quest line. Well, for me, God of War Ragnarok's side missions, the favors, it's about connecting to the characters. So far, both of them have really tied into Lemire's past, kind of gives you a better idea, kind of also shows you just what kind of dick we're dealing with when it comes to Odin. And when it comes to characters, I gotta say, man, I have loved what we've seen so far with the characters, right? From the dwarves not really wanting to be too responsive when Kratos comes around, to, and that's maybe not necessarily Kratos' fault, by the way, to the interaction you get with Thor, which I thought was handled fantastically. Like, I really dug the way Thor was handled and the way you deal when you meet Odin. And I gotta say, right out the gate, like, to me, that was just one tense scene that made me go, okay, I'm ready. Let's do this. This is gonna get good. So either way, God of War Ragnarok, 9 hours in, I'm absolutely loving this game. But you know what? For the last couple months, I have talked about how I want to bring back my game of the month, my trophy of the month, shout out of the month, all the things I used to do. And I keep honestly just forgetting to include them. So I'm going to make that up starting right now. This episode, I'm going to do trophy and game of the month because next week it is Black Friday. And you know what? That's when I typically do my annual games I want to see under the Christmas tree. So that special episode will be next week. So today I'm going to combine the trophy of the month and the game of the month. So gamers, what is the trophy of the month? It is Top of the Mountain in WWE 2K22. You get this for finishing My GM Mode as the number one rated show. And I got to tell you something, that's kind of tough to pull off because it's all about your rankings. You have to rank more than the show you're competing against. In my case, I was William Regal leading WWE Raw versus Stephanie McMahon leading SmackDown, and she was beating me every single week. And I mean, it didn't matter what I did, what legends I brought in, like, I just couldn't beat her. I really had to focus. It's not necessarily about the name values. You know, you can bring in John Cena and have him fight Roman Reigns. And hey, yeah, that is a good guy versus a bad guy, but you got to pay attention to what kind of fighters they are. Are they a fighter? Are they a bruiser? Are they a heavy? Are they a light? Because those are going to be the combination that you need to get more fans excited. And then the more you have them fight and build up to these big, you know, specialty matches can be huge numbers. So unfortunately, it took me about 12 weeks to realize that, you know what, yeah, I was getting good, but if I would have just sit there and focused on the types of fighters and the style of match, I could do better. So I really kind of went back to the drawing board those last few weeks, and I actually used less and less money so that when it came to WrestleMania, the final show, I could afford to buy the biggest production stuff. I could put on the biggest show, and I did. And I took a shot, and it paid off because, yep, at the end of that show, I was the number one in the rankings. So I actually completed my GM mode, but I got the trophy for doing it as the number one ranked. And here's the deal. I want to replay my GM mode. I really do. I want to play a longer one. Now that I know these tricks and tips, I can actually sit there and kind of, you know, adjust the roster, who I draft and how I place it, and have a better shot of kind of winning a lot more. But at the end of the day, the reason I'm glad I got this trophy is I make a lot of plans to do a lot of things in video games, but timing is not always on my side. So this meant a lot to me. Now for my game of the month, I'm going to give it to God of War Ragnarok. Really and truly, I kind of floated a lot through this month. Yes, I did start off Assassin's Creed Rogue, and I had a blast with it. And I finished up stuff in Ghost of Tsushima, and I loved that PS5 upgrade, the DLC. But really and truly, it was God of War that just has gripped me, and I have been in love with it. So God of War Ragnarok, my game of the month. Gamers, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Graveyard Gaming, and I do appreciate you joining me. If you were expecting the Ghost of Tsushima Iki Island expansion review, I did promise it last week. However, some things changed, so it will be coming in just a couple of weeks. And I just want to say, I would love to know your thoughts on the classic games collection that I mentioned. Look, when I think about this more and more, I'm like, we're probably never going to get that Simpsons Hit and Run remaster or remake that we all want, because at the end of the day, they're just not as big in pop culture. So a collection like this, to put it in there, just a little spit and shine to make it look a little nice, along with all the other classic NES games, might be just the only way we get it, and it also is just going to be awesome. So I'd love to see that, but I'd also love to know, what kind of arcade games would you like to see show up on PlayStation, Xbox, or Switch? Then I'd like to talk to you about the games that I think get too much hate. Do you disagree? Do you think they get the right amount of hate? Do you think there's some other games that get hate that shouldn't? Let me know. Also, what about the Graveyard Shift? Have you played the Ninja Turtles Cowabunga Collection? What did you think of it? And how much are you loving or disliking God of War Ragnarok? Let me know. TheGraveyardGamer@gmail.com, TheGraveyardGamer on Instagram, or TheGraveyardG on Twitter. Till next time, I'll be creeping around the graveyard.